Okay.
This is Emily Reformat, editor of Automatic Merchandiser Magazine and Vending Market Watch. Today we have NAMA's president and CEO online, Carla Bellacci. Carla, thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you so much, Emily. My pleasure.
So NAMA has just wrapped up its 2013 public policy conference, and we've already heard that it was a very positive experience. Will we see more of these types of advocacy efforts from NAMA in the future?
We absolutely will. A public policy conference in sort of any form or fashion is a very important foundational tool in the portfolio, the government affairs portfolio of trade associations. So NAMA is not unique in that regard, and we are in a building process of creating these programs, because you need to do this in order to have your visibility, your voice, and your presence sustained in Washington.
Terrific. So what kind of long-term value do they represent?
Well, you know, it might be easier if I backtracked a little bit in order to forecast forward. So you heard me just say that public policy programs are foundational. And so in NAMA, at least in as much as I know its history, began our public policy conferences about 4 years ago. And the first one and that was in conjunction with the decision by the board of directors to begin holding one of its annual biannual meetings in Washington for the purposes of engaging federal elected officials. Because, as you know, by our state councils, the level of activity at the state level has long been present and long been acknowledged by the 34 state councils that we help to support. So our federal program. The intention was to build it, and the board of directors was on point with that. And so having held the first one 4 years ago, and it included a variety of things, including the equivalent of a gratitude tour event where we showcased the industry and some meetings with elected officials. During the CEO transition, there was another one, and it was again mostly, I would say probably a scaled-down version during that time, of meeting with elected officials and other agencies that we could secure meetings with, given our bandwidth and capacity. The 2012 event came back after I joined the organization, and we kind of got our feet under us. And our purpose last year was to be very issue focused and to talk to all the agencies who were involved in managing issues that affect our industry. And part of that had to do with the fact there was a presidential election going on. And we figured the elected officials probably were a little more focused and actually physically in their home districts at the time. So as you begin to see now, we're building. And the 2013 conference was a combination of meeting with agencies, again, issue-focused, and putting our board members, as well as some emerging leaders. We invited the second and third generation leaders from some of our operator companies to join us, as well as some of our industry partners who are part of our government affairs committee, to swarm Capitol Hill and have conversations with elected officials. What's ironic about the 2013 conference is that the government officials were a bit distracted by the shutdown. So it's never a straight line in Washington. So our agency meetings, which were well planned, were canceled, many of which were canceled because of the shutdown. We had two very good meetings, one with the Mint on coin and currency issues and one with the Department of Defense on health at their Healthy Base initiative, which goes right at one of our big focuses for the several forward focused years, which is nutrition and wellness. An excellent meeting with the Pentagon, which I can tell you more about if your readers and your listeners are interested. But our second day on Capitol Hill, as they say, making lemons out of lemonade, our lemonade out of lemons, was very fortuitous, because the elected officials who were trapped in town due to the shutdown were very happy to meet with their constituents and to have a distraction away from some of the other gridlock. And so we had 23 meetings in the House of Representatives, met with 14 elected officials. In the Senate, we had 5 meetings with senators, 4 of which were with senators. If you know Washington, that's a pretty high ratio to get the elected officials rather than our staffers. And in fact, Howard Chapman and Vic Pemberton from Alabama got sucked in to meet the entire Alabama delegation, who was having lunch together. And those are the spontaneous and important things that happen. That's why we have to be in Washington, and that's why the elected officials need to hear from the people who vote for them, who employ people in their districts, and who pay their taxes and who matter. So that's a very long-winded answer as to whether there are going to be more. You can probably hear by the passion in my voice, absolutely. There needs to be more. And you don't win a war in Washington one-off. You win a war in Washington by being consistent, by building relationships, by making friends, by telling your story, and by helping them understand how their actions impact you. So this is just a beginning for NAMA. I think our events will get bigger, they will get better, they will get more focused, more powerful, but it's a building game.
Can you speak to your own personal experience, perhaps, that you've had in the past about what building these kinds of relationships with representatives can mean for an industry?
I don't think that public policy is any different than sales or any other type of business relationship, in that people do business with people they know and they like. And public policy is just a different version of that. I mean, there's no monetary exchange, unless you consider PAC contributions or other types of fundraisers in that regard. And there are very strict rules around lobbying. But if you take that away, and you're operating within those parameters, the importance of relationships is just as important as it is in everyday business. If you don't know someone, how can you ask them for a favor? If they don't understand you, they don't know you, and they don't like you, it's much harder to carry a point, to do something for them, to call on them when you need them. So I've spent my career building relationships with my members, and with both government and non-governmental agencies. I will hearken back to the payments industry, where, interestingly, that industry was as or even more regulated by the payment networks, who set the rules in which our members could operate. So we had private sector standard-setting bodies who dictated prices and rules of engagement, and even whether or not you could sell in that space. At the time I joined that organization, our industry didn't have a great reputation, and it had no relationships or very minimal relationships with the payment networks. And we spent the first 4 years just trying to get them to even talk to us. And once we accomplished that and we got them actively involved in our advisory council and on our board of directors and in other ways, we spent the next 5 years working on issues. It took 9 years to get to a place where we were really moving the dial. Now, that was starting from scratch. NAMA is not starting from scratch. But again, I will just say that having solid relationships, and of course, elected officials change. So you have a new person with whom you have to build a relationship, and that's why I say it's endless. It never ends. It's a marathon, but it all comes down to, I know you, I like you, and I will do business with you.
Well, thank you, Carla. That's very informative. Appreciate your candid answers and sharing NAMA's efforts towards advocacy for the industry for the future. Appreciate it.
You're most welcome. It's, according to our members, it's one of the two most important things we do. So no chance of us letting up on that anytime soon. Thank you, Emily.
Great.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.